Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show.
Today, what are we going to talk about today? What do you want to talk about today? I have a lot of things on my mind today. And in the spirit of sometimes you just got to let it flow. And normally I have three distinct buckets of things I want to get to each show. But today, I'm going to be kind to myself. Had a long week. Was in Las Vegas for a conference. Had a good time. Learned a lot. Met a lot of good people. But it kind of threw off my rhythm for the week and how I get ready for the show. So this week, we're going to do something a little different. Today's theme is unscripted. And we'll kind of go where the energy takes us. I got a couple things I want to get to, like unavoidable news stories of the week and some underdog stuff. But we'll make it happen together. And I always enjoy when you go on the ride with me. So where would I like to start? I think I'm going to start here with a quick story. And I know a lot of you underdogs and my people can relate to this. You ever been to a loved one's funeral and it's always a challenging occasion, right? When you lose a loved one. And at the funeral, you know there's going to be the viewing of the body. You know it's going to be emotional, a lot of tears. You know you're going to get to see a lot of family and friends. Maybe some family and friends you haven't seen for years. You know, they often say weddings and funerals bring us back together. And, of course, it's unfortunate because we should look to interact with one another more than just those occasions. But those are the occasions that oftentimes bring us back together. And so funerals also are a time to see a lot of family and friends maybe you haven't seen in a while. And it's a very emotional and serious occasion. And at the same time, like most things that involve people, there's some uncertainty at the funeral. There's a little bit of anxiety, a little angst. When you know that on the program, people are going to get up and talk. And we wouldn't be keeping it real if we didn't admit that there's always some anxiety, right? Is the pastor going to make sure he honors our loved one, or is he going to start preaching? Is the neighbor that gets up to talk going to stay focused on why we're celebrating the loss of our loved one, or are they going to go left? Is Auntie Nay going to be able to contain herself and stay on message? And then you got some people you know are going to get up to speak because it's almost required, right? They're supposed to say something. But you know darn well your loved one didn't like them. And those people up there speaking didn't like your loved one. But for whatever reason, we have certain rituals and things that we do. And you kind of sit there and you bite your tongue and you just hope that it goes faster than it does. That Auntie Nay and your next door neighbor just hurry up. Because we all know your loved one didn't really like them that much anyway. And that's kind of how I felt this week. When I heard this.
50 years ago, Dr. King was cruelly taken from this world by an assassin's bullet. But the promise he fought for could never be taken away. His words, his deeds, they live on forever. And the cause for which he gave his life only gained strength and force and power with the passage of time. On this cherished day, we honor the memory of Reverend King, and we rededicate ourselves to a glorious future where every American from every walk of life can live free from fear, liberated from hatred, and uplifted by boundless love for their fellow citizens. I ask every citizen to join me in remembering this great American hero and to carry on his legacy of justice, equality, and freedom. God bless the memory of Reverend King, and God bless the United States of America.
Remember when I just said that sometimes you're at the funeral of a loved one and someone in your circle is kind of required to talk, but you kind of wish they didn't get up and say anything? That's kind of how I just felt just now. And also, shout out to the underdogs coming along on the journey today. Shout out to Lynn, Big Dog, one of my good friends from Uptown, a.k.a. Mount Airy, a.k.a. Philadelphia, checking in online. And I'm talking about how sometimes you can be at the funeral of a loved one and just unsettled that certain people get to get up and talk, and you're like, my loved one didn't really care for you that much. And if they did know you, I definitely know they wouldn't care for you that much. And that's kind of how I felt when Donald Trump was talking about Dr. Martin Luther King, because as most of you know, we acknowledge the fact that it's been 50 years since his assassination. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one who was rubbed the wrong way by listening to Donald Trump attempt to acknowledge the great work of Dr. King. When at times I feel like Donald Trump is, in the end, actually going against some of the things that Dr. Martin Luther King stood for. But I know that I wasn't the only one. Turns out that a lot of folks were kind of rubbed the wrong way that Donald Trump was out here putting MLK's name in his mouth.
I think what people really don't understand, for those of us that grew up in the King movement and the generation after King, is that we marked the 50th anniversary with the challenges that we have a president that has made this kind of racial divide and intolerance become vogue again. Because when you look at what Donald Trump is doing around pet questions of people of color, Mexicans, blacks, Muslims, he has reintroduced what Dr. King's life was again.
He's taken us back.
Taken us really back.
50 years or further. I mean, certainly this sort of talk coming from a president, you'd have to go back. God, I don't know how far you would have to go back to hear the sort of talk from a president that we're hearing now, unfortunately, from this deplorable example of one.
Maybe it's just me. Am I the only one who's been to the funerals of some loved ones? And while they're being emotional, shedding tears, attempting to remember and celebrate the person that just passed, and at the same time having anxiety about some of the people who are going to get up and speak and know that my loved one wasn't really down with them, knowing that, as Lenny said, there's going to be people there in the audience that are coming out there expecting something with their hands out. People cozying up to my loved one as if they were down with them. That's kind of how I felt this week when Donald Trump, someone who has once said that there are good people on both sides of those who want equality and those who don't, a man who's on record of saying that America was great in the 1950s and that we should make it great again. But it wasn't so great for everybody in the 1950s last time I checked. But I'm not going to leave it there. Unfortunately, when we're at the funeral of a loved one, sometimes we just have to sit there and suck it up and take the fact that there's some people on stage that probably shouldn't be there, that should keep our loved one's name out their mouth. But I wouldn't end this first discussion with just Donald Trump. And nothing against Al Sharpton, but I don't even want to end it with Al when talking about this great American loved one for all of us named Dr. Martin Luther King. I'd rather us hear from him.
What is it about the Negro? I mean, every other group that came as an immigrant somehow not easily, but somehow got around it. Is it just the fact that Negroes are black?
White America must see that no other ethnic group has been a slave on American soil. That is one thing that other immigrant groups haven't had to face. The other thing is that the color became a stigma. American society made the Negro's color a stigma. America freed the slaves in 1863 through the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, but gave the slaves no land or nothing in reality, and as a matter of fact, to get started on. At the same time, America was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that there was a willingness to give the white peasants from Europe an economic base. And yet it refused to give its black peasants from Africa, who came here involuntarily in chains and had worked free for 244 years, any kind of economic base. And so emancipation for the Negro was really freedom to hunger. It was freedom to the winds and rains of heaven. It was freedom without food to eat or land to cultivate, and therefore it was freedom and famine at the same time. And when white Americans tell the Negro to lift himself by his own bootstraps, They don't look over the legacy of slavery and segregation. I believe we ought to do all we can and seek to lift ourselves by our own bootstraps. But it's a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And many Negroes, by the thousands and millions, have been left bootless as a result of all of these years of oppression and as a result of a society that deliberately made his color a stigma and something worthless and degrading.
Whew. We could just sit on that for the next 2 hours. And as Lenny said, one of my good friends from Philadelphia says, I'm sure number 45 was sick to his stomach when he had to read the script in those words about Dr. Martin Luther King. And I agree with you, Lynn. And I'm sure if Dr. Martin Luther King was here too, he'd be sick to his stomach having to listen to Donald Trump say those words. But like I said, I didn't want to end it on Trump and Al Sharpton talking about MLK. I wanted to play some clips of MLK himself. And that one caught my attention because he mentions a couple things that I just want to, sometimes I think we lose perspective. Let's say somebody is overweight. 300, 400 pounds. If someone loses 100, 150 pounds, that's great, right? If you're 400 pounds, you lose 200 pounds, or 100 pounds, you go down to 300. And that's great that you made progress, but you still have a ways to go to be healthy, to be right. And so I get it. I'm not a slave anymore. I get it. Jim Crow isn't around anymore. But just because we've lost some weight doesn't mean that we've reached a healthy place yet. And a couple phrases from what Dr. Martin Luther King just said caught my attention. We got freedom, but we got famine at the same time. That's a hard base to start from. Folks want us to pick ourselves up, lace up our bootstraps, but we don't have any boots. And so, while progress has been made, you know why we still get to fight? Because the words on those papers, like the Declaration of Independence, the words in the Constitution, they're good words. All men and women are created equal. We get to pursue happiness. But that still ain't available to everybody, and not everybody has boots to even lace up. And so we will continue to fight. And you know what we do here, Underdogs. We will continue to fight to rediscover how special we are in the world. And we will continue to protest. And instead of me saying it, I'll let him say it.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
And I do want to take a moment to obviously acknowledge Dr. Martin Luther King, especially as we remember that 50 years ago to this month, he was assassinated. And I also just want to remind underdogs out there, especially the ones who are the protesters, the freedom fighters, the activists. Martin Luther King was despised and hated by almost 2/3 of Americans back in the 60s. And obviously, look at everybody now celebrating him 50 years later. And so I just want to give a special shout out to all the activists, the freedom fighters, and protesters of today who are seen as getting in the way, who are seen as ungrateful, who are seen as not doing it right, who are seen as maybe write a letter to your congressman instead. I want to acknowledge you now because I know history will look back on you as doing the right thing, but I don't want to wait that long. So thank you for the fight that you put on today, even in the face of being disliked right now.
Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote, underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.